Welcome back to RBKD, Way Back Rap Wednesday, old school hip hop hump day. And if you don't know about this one, I can't help you. Yeah. Bone Thugs and Harmony, B.I.G.
Underrated.
Very underrated. Yeah, no, I like it. No, great job. Cameron doing a good job DJing us on a Way Back Rap Wednesday, old school hip hop hump day. I actually had this on my running playlist like this week, too.
Nice.
So very timely, too. My man, Cameron doing a good job. You can reach him via Twitter at Cameron D. Parker in the Twitterverse. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man, Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01. And yeah, Bone Thugs, man, I got to tell you, considering how niche their style is, there is nobody who's a hip-hop fan who doesn't know who Bone Thugs and Harmony is. And I guess that's the beauty of the niche. The niche was also something that I think people got tired of over a period of time.
Probably.
Right? It was only something that I think was something that was popular for probably 6 years or so.
Some of the best Biggie
six,
right
seven
here.
Years. It's great Biggie. But now everybody knows Bone Thugs, though.
They
the style
do.
Was so unique that everybody knows who Bone Thugs is, if you're any type of hip-hop fan at all.
You're right. There was a niche to them and a style, but I loved it.
Oh, it was great.
No Surrender. That'll get you fired up for a game.
Oh, no. They had a bunch of them. I mean, it wasn't like they were a one-hit wonder.
No.
I mean,
they had a lot of good songs.
They had a lot of great songs. I mean, they had two legit albums that probably were, I don't know if that, how much platinum they went, but they were big-time sellers. So, I got to tell you, Bone Thugs, shout out. I know now there ain't many of them. I seen them. They came to Austin recently. I think it's like one left. Like one of the original.
They dead?
Dead or in jail. Other types of things.
Well, they could just be hanging out.
No. They're not with the group anymore.
Okay, I got
But no,
you.
Some of them actually are passed away.
RP, okay.
And some or other things happened to them. I don't know. But it's not the original group. So don't get fooled. Oh, you want to come see Bone Thug? Nah.
You're not seeing Bone.
Yes. That's not the original Bone Thugs. Let's just say that. Anyway, let's get to some Dallas Cowboys.
Did you get hoodwinked into that?
No, I went with a friend. Who did I go with? Man, that was back in the day. I went with somebody back in the day. And, man, it was... I don't go to hip-hop shows anyway. That's probably right. Why I shouldn't have went. And it was sad. It was a sad state of affairs. Yeah.
Yeah, for Rod to like live music, it's got to be the original artist. And even then, you may not like it.
No,
because you and I aren't really into live music, which makes no sense. Like, it's like we're living in a town where they have the best bread in the world, and you're like, I'm not a big bread guy.
Yeah, no, it's not really my thing. I don't hate on it, though. I understand that it is a real, some people love live music. They need to live for it. I mean, it's one of those things where it's one of those things they value, and it's one of the great joys of their life.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not hating on it.
And
it
I
awesome.
Love, I have people like that in my life, and I love going to a concert and just seeing their reaction.
Yeah, people know
I can get joy through that.
Exactly. But for me personally, like I'm like, okay, I can leave a concert mid-concert and be fine.
Yes, I can.
And some people
too.
Are like, no, you can't leave.
My friends don't like
finishes
that.
Finishes the set. And I'm like, I can leave. I'm good.
No parking.
I'll go in the car and listen to the version I got. It's all right. It's just as good. Like, I'm that kind of guy.
You
but
got
I
some
get
good
it.
Old man in you.
I do.
Hey, Ben Harper. I mentioned this on Craig's deal that he did with all of us about the music survey.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Harper is one of those that is that much better in person.
Oh, maybe? Okay.
There's a cloud over it, but I'm not sure how much that plays
into
it.
It was an enhanced experience.
But no, but that was one of those I thought, man, this is what live music's all about. I've seen some really good shows.
Well, I've seen good shows.
Rod, I think our point is that it doesn't separate as much if we're just listening.
Yeah, I don't seek it out.
On YouTube.
Yeah, I don't seek it out, but a lot of people do. Trust me, my wife goes to ACLs. She loves that. South by Southwest loves that kind of stuff. I don't.
Well, you're going to be going then.
No, I don't. I let her and her friends go handle that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
So she didn't drag you along?
Oh, no. No. That's why I married her.
I know.
I would never marry a woman who would drag me to stuff.
Well.
I married her because she knows.
They're out there.
She's not going to drag. You're going to drag me? You got to drag me like a dead body.
That was my last relationship. I was a dead body just being,
just being dragged along.
From event to event.
Yeah, I can't.
What event we going to tonight?
Ooh.
Can we just.
Was it work stuff?
It was charitable stuff.
Oh,
it was
a great person.
Great person. And so, it was stuff you feel bad for. You say, well, you don't want to go to this? It's like, well, look, I care about the cause, but I don't know, Wednesday night.
I'm just going to write a check. It's where I donate.
Can I donate from my couch?
Exactly. Time is money. So I'm going to donate some money. That's basically time. You got it.
Yes.
Done deal.
That's it.
The Cowboys, they could use a little bit of both.
Some donations.
They at all. Right now, they are a COVID mass unit right now, the Dallas Cowboys are.
So what's going on there?
So let me try to make sure I get all of the different Cowboys. I wrote down all the Cowboys that are dealing with issues. So at this point, you have... Okay, Mike McCarthy is going to be out because of COVID. He's on the COVID-19 list.
Cameron's excited about that, the Cowboys fan back there.
With no Mike McCarthy?
Yeah.
Well, then Dan Quinn's going to be stressed because he was just going to be the defensive play caller. Now he's got to do more. So I feel you, but man, now the game management concerns me overall for the Cowboys.
Yeah, but I think that's Cameron's point. Is that
you think
game
Dan
management...
Quinn's going to do a better job than Mike McCarthy?
Can he do worse?
Wow.
I don't think McCarthy knows they have 3 timeouts per half.
All right. But, I mean, Dan Quinn was fired, too, so he wasn't doing a stellar job of game management.
I would have Bones do all that.
You could. You probably could.
Fossil, I just want more shots of Bones.
Fossil, yeah. No, you could have him do it. I'm with you on that. I mean, you just need somebody that
Well, he also deals with every single player on the roster or every position group.
No, I'm with you. I mean, I think they both. I'm with Cameron. I think Mike McCarthy could use somebody to advise him, too. But you're just stretched thin now in the coaching situation. Nation Wright is now on that list. Terrence Steele is on that list, the COVID-19 list for the Cowboys. Blake Jordan, T.J. Vasher is on there.
Texas Tech.
Practice squad guys. Robert Foster on there from the practice squad. The Cowboys have had more players and coaches on the COVID-19 list than any team in the NFL. They've had 26 players and or coaches on the list. And they've had a lot of breakout cases, which means guys who have been vaccinated and they still end up getting it.
So what is Cooper? Now, Cooper could be clear, but he's still
unvaccinated.
Sick, right?
He's unvaccinated. So he's traveling to New Orleans. Ed Warder says he's traveling to New Orleans and he's going to play. That's what he says.
All right. I'm not trusting that after the last couple of weeks where I've been told guys are probably going to play and they end up playing.
But he's going to be missed the last 2 games because he was on the COVID-19 list. But remember, he's unvaccinated, which means you have to spend 10 days on the COVID-19 list. And you also have to have no symptoms, be asymptomatic to return. If you're unvaccinated, if you're vaccinated, you only spend 5 days, at least 5 days, on the COVID protocol reserve list, and you have to test negative twice and 24 hours apart.
Okay,
those negative tests have to be. That's it. So that's the difference. But the Cowboys have been, I mean, they've been ravaged.
Cedric Wilson is also hobbled.
He's out.
Is he out?
Yep.
Wow. He's got an ankle injury.
Led the Cowboys with 104 receiving yards.
I like me some Cedric Wilson. He had 3 drops a couple weeks ago, but he is. He shows, really illustrates the depth they have. For him to be their number 4 receiver, Rod, we've talked about it. Half the clubs, he'd be their number 2 guy.
No, and Cameron's right. He had his second 100-yard receiving game in that Thanksgiving.
He was returning
debacle.
Punts or kicks, too.
He's twitchy, man.
He is twitchy.
I like him. He's explosive.
String beanie. And twitchy.
String beanie and twitchy. Whether it's injuries, suspension. Tristan Hill had his suspension reduced from 2 games to 1. So that's good.
Yep.
But whether it's suspensions or whether it's injuries or COVID lists, I mean, they are just shorthanded. Like I said, they're a COVID mass unit. And the offensive line at least is getting Tyron Smith back.
Yep.
So they have Tyron Smith back. But remember, they've been.
But Steele's out.
But Steele's out. And they've been moving, or they've been fluctuating that offensive line a lot. They've had a lot of different starting combinations because of different issues. So Lyle Collins and Steele have been rotating starts. And Lyle Collins is probably going to start now at right tackle. Not probably, he will. And Connor McGovern remember, he replaced Connor Williams.
Is he still going to start at left guard?
That is the report, that he's still going to start at left guard over Connor Williams. And so that'll be his, 3rd game in a row starting for Connor Williams. So they've had a lot of instability on the offensive line, which has led to the running game just hitting a stall.
I mentioned it yesterday. I know it's not 93 Cowboys where you take away the running game and it's like, oh my God, we've got nothing. But it's still more the structure of kind of what makes this thing go.
Yeah, they got to do something to boost the running game. And maybe it's just Zeke being hurt, so there are some thoughts that they're going to rest Zeke and maybe limit Zeke and just give Tony Pollard a chance to be the featured back, and that would be great because I think Tony Pollard's a good player. But since week 7, give you a stat here, Cowboys fans, and this is troubling. Since week 7, Cowboys are averaging 83 rushing yards per game. Since week 7. That is good for 29th in the NFL in that time span. In the first weeks 1 through 6, They were averaging 164 rushing yards per game. That was good for second in the league. So those are extremes, but they got to get back to a point where at least they have a competent running game, a functional running game. Right now, it's almost inept, where it gives you nothing at all.
If Zeke's out, you see a lot of Pollard, and then I guess Corey Clement. Is that your next guy, Wisconsin?
Oh, man. I haven't even looked at the depth chart there for the Cowboys. Is he the third string running back?
We have to.
Okay. Yeah. No, I hadn't even looked at it. So I don't know if he's the next guy.
Yes.
Okay.
To ESPN, he is. But yeah, you got Cooper, you got CeeDee Lamb, you've got they're just banged up everywhere. Hell, their fullback has been out. And I understand they don't use their fullback a ton.
Yeah. No.
But it's even stuff like that. It's like, does he even play enough to be out? Defensively, they should be back to a better spot. Still no Gregory. Still no Lawrence. I think Lawrence is going to be back. Oh, Lawrence is going to be back?
I believe he's going to be back.
Well,
yeah.
Beautiful.
That's good. Actually, yeah, I forgot to mention that. Thank you for bringing that up. And Cameron for confirming. So Marcus Lawrence will be back. That's great news for them, because now some of the burden is off of Micah Parsons. Not that he hasn't been stellar, but some of the burden off of him being essentially the sole source of their pass rush.
Yeah.
They haven't had any besides him. And DeMarcus Lawrence hadn't played since week one. I didn't realize they'd been that long. Week one.
You know why? Because they were coasting along. So by week five, you hadn't felt it yet.
It wasn't glaring.
It wasn't glaring. And then you feel it a little bit, and all of a sudden you go, oh, man, that's been week one. Cameron, you're a big Cowboys fan. Rod and I were talking about it a little bit yesterday, and obviously you were part of the show as well, to where it's probably not a must win, but damn, this is one you need to kind of get back on track with.
Oh, 100%. And with Washington up next week, this could be a game they lose Thursday to the Saints, and Washington somehow beats the Raiders. They're only one game back from the Cowboys. And a few weeks ago,
which is so hard to believe.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're only two games back right now.
And they
That's
shouldn't
crazy.
Be.
No. It's hard to fathom, honestly, that the Cowboys have lost three of their last four, considering how well they were playing. But now they just got to get a win. They're at that point now.
Get a dub.
If they lose again, I'm with Cameron. I think then you panic, because then you're going to give a lot of momentum to Washington. And Washington, they're not a good team, but they're gritty. They can play spoiler. I don't think they're a playoff team. They can spoil your chance at getting a good seed in the playoffs.
I don't think they are, but they are right now.
Right now, they're not going to. The Cowboys are going to win the division.
Yes, they are.
But you should run away with this division. It shouldn't be close. You should be able to sit guys at the last week of the season instead of be fighting it out for a spot.
And for me, yeah, the division's still up in the air, but I'm with y'all. They're going to win the division. It's more about, can you get back to playing really well when you get into the playoffs and to really give yourself a chance? Because, Cameron, I think the NFC in general is up in the air enough to where if this Cowboy team plays at their apex, they could probably beat anyone.
Yeah, the two best teams are probably the Packers and the Cardinals, right? But besides that, the Cowboys were in that conversation a few weeks ago before this, you know, big losing streak of the last four, five games. And also, you know, we talked about wanting to be able to rest guys for the last 2 weeks, Cardinals week 16 and the Eagles week 17. Right now, they're supposed to face the Rams in the playoffs, and that's a team I would not want to face in the first round. So losing these games hurt. They'll probably still win the division, I think, personally, unless they lose more guys to the injured reserve or injury list, but it's going to hurt them, all these losses in matchups versus the playoffs. Yep. They want to make that deep run.
Yeah.
No. I still have faith that once they get healthy, but that's a if, buts, candies, and nuts scenario, right? It's the NFL. No team is completely healthy. And when at any time do you – and I would say it happened a few times. I've seen it happen to the Bucks last year, right? I mean, they got healthy at the right time, made a great playoff run. Cowboys is a healthy team, as healthy as they can be, whatever that looks like. Man, I still think they could make a run.
They could.
Dangerous. But, yeah, if they don't have the full complement of players, like those two pass rushers, I think most of them talking about Randy Gregory and DeMarcus Lawrence, they don't have those guys for the stretch run, the Cowboys are going to get beat. They're going to be an easy win for somebody.
And they got to make sure the offensive line is functioning better. They got to get those guys playing more like they were 5 weeks ago. And then, obviously, the receivers have to be healthy. If that's the case, they can beat anyone in the NFC. I'm not saying I'd pick them, and you guys are right. It'd be Packers, Cardinals right now as you're looking at the top. But those teams are beatable, and we've seen that in pro football this year. Almost everyone's beatable.
No, I'll give you a great stat about how crazy the NFL season has been. The NFL, this is a gambling stat for all you degenerates out there. Home teams in the NFL this year, 77, 101, and 1 against the spread.
Wow.
On track for the worst against the spread season record for home teams in the Super Bowl era.
So throw that out.
Something weird is going on with home field advantage. It ain't what it used to be. Vegas is starting to figure it out, but it's weird. Right now, best team against the spread, Packers, actually, to my point, to Cameron's point, actually, about them being the best team in the NFC. They're 10-2 against the spread. Cowboys still 8-3. So is Arizona. So they're not bad. They're the second best team against the spread.
Look, you got the Saints tomorrow. You've got the Redskins twice, and you got the Giants in your next four games. You got to. You should go 4-0. You got to at least go 3-1.
Yeah, I think you should go 4-0. But we'll see the sense of urgency with the Cowboys. It should be. They should be treating this, like a must win game. Like we should see them come out with a sense of urgency. I think you will. Just because, I mean, they feel it too. Because now they're depleted of a lot of their playmakers, and they know they need all hands on deck to beat everybody. They really can't assume they're going to beat anybody even in the NFC least, where you have bad teams. I mean, they could lose to Washington. I could see them losing to Philadelphia if they don't come to play. I know it sounds crazy.
No, they
could happen.
Saints have one of the worst offenses in the NFL this year. No Kamara, Taysom Hill at quarterback. Is Taysom Hill even supposed to be a quarterback? I mean, that's a discussion. I don't even know. It's a game they should win Thursday. And if they don't win Thursday, then the point is, are they even a playoff team at this point? Because this is now another loss that's very concerning.
Yeah, I mean, I would still think they're a playoff team. And Sean Payton's kind of gone back. He said Taysom Hill's starting. Now he's saying he's not sure if he's going to be starting. He's probably going to be the guy.
So is it Trevor Siemian if he doesn't start?
Yeah, Saints are so banged up.
And what they have right now,
you need to run away with this.
Yeah, if Trevor Siemian starts, you should blow him out. If Taysom Hill starts, you should win. But I know they can do funky things with Taysom Hill. I mean, he can, and nobody out there can game plan it better than Sean Payton. I mean, he's a hell of a game planner, and he uses more personnel packages than anybody else in the league, just to kind of confuse you with formations and personnel groupings, try to get you at a matchup disadvantage. He does it really well. But aside from the offense, which I agree with Cameron, is a bit of a disaster right now. And how is Alvin Kamara out? Is he playing?
I think he's out.
Man, I mean, if that's the case, then it's going to be a Herculean task for them to score some points. But the defense for New Orleans is legit, right? They've allowed only 91 rushing yards per game. That's third in the NFL. 3.4 yards per carry allowed, first in the NFL. They're the only defense to allow fewer than 130 rushing yards over expected this season.
Against a team that you pointed out hadn't been running the ball well.
Exactly. So, essentially, they don't have a lot of weaknesses on defense. I mean, they're still legit defense. We talk about... That's how they're standing in game. We're talking about taking a step back. They have taken a step back offensively. But defensively, there's an argument to be made. They're just as good as they've ever been in the Sean Payton era.
Ian Rappaport, they are. No, you're right about that. And I'm glad you brought that matchup up, too, because their run defense is really good. Let's see if Dallas can actually crack more than, would you say, 83 yards that they just have not been running the ball well. Rappaport did tweet that the Saints appear to have Taysom Hill being the guy. He's taking first-team reps this week in practice, and Siemian is taking number two reps. You got the two games against Washington. You got the Giants. Get back on track.
Kamara's also questionable. He was limited in practice this week, but looks like Mark Ingram will be in line to start.
Ooh,
so
Mark Ingram.
Yeah, the Cowboys. See, that they should. I don't know what the line is. I'll have to look at it.
5.5, I believe, is what it opened.
I'm going to say that's hard to say they should cover because they're on the road.
It's at 4.5 now.
Ooh. I might touch that.
Money coming in. You've been good on the Cowboys all year.
No, the Cowboys have been good. Like I said, they're second best team against the spread in the NFL. They may come out and just throw the ball, though, against the Saints. And we've talked about they got, rushing game issues, and Zeke still dealing with some injuries that have accumulated. The New Orleans Saints, against the pass, they are last in the NFL in completion percentage allowed.
Yeah, that's where you go. But you're going to have some type of a running game.
You do. And also passer rating allowed, 115.9. So you can throw it on them. I think it's more high percentage passes, so maybe that's an extension of the running game. Tony Pollard's perfect for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he is. Get that guy out on the perimeter and running some of those screen routes with him and some of the quick game with him. So.
Cowboys Saints tomorrow night. You can hear it right here on the Horn. We'll have the show leading up to the boys, who are 7-4, taking on the 5-6 Saints. That's always a tough place to play, but as Rod pointed out, that really hasn't made that big of a difference, or not as much of a difference as it usually does at being at home. Let's talk about some of the college games, because this is our last weekend. I'm already getting really excited about some of the matchups, and man, you still have a lot of openings, so to speak, in the college football playoff. You're going to be see a lot of teams, a lot of fan bases. Notre Dame, for sure, that'll be rooting for some teams, rooting against others, but it should be good on the field product. We'll get into it up next.
Stop putting off LASIK. Sharp Vision Modern LASIK is now off.
I like that five-star recruit at Kentucky. He's been here, and he's going to stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
One more weekend, and then we get that break. It'll be exciting because you got the playoff and you have bowl games, but you get that break. You just forget how awesome it was all season long. Sometimes you can take it for granted that every Saturday, college football just does not disappoint. I mean, I've said it this year. College football, as someone who studies it and loves the history of it and has lived it for my whole life, this was not a classic year. There were not a lot of great teams, but that's when you know you've got an awesome product and really an unbeatable product. Is whenever you can, people like me can see that and know that and still love the actual product that's on the field. Rod, I think it's good timing too. If there was going to be a cyclical year for college football programs this year to where we could get some fresh new blood, because if you remember the last couple of years, a lot of the offseason talk has been, okay, there's not enough parity at the top, and there's really three programs that have a chance to win a national championship,
yep.
Maybe four or five. And we're going to have three new programs in it, and we're probably going to have, unless Alabama beats Georgia and then wins the whole thing, which
is pretty shocking.
It would be shocking. But we're going to have a different champion, even if that's Georgia.
Yeah. No, I think it's, like you said, it's fun and refreshing, I believe. I don't know if this will be the state of things going forward. I think the state of things in the future probably could regress back to kind of the traditions that we know of the powers running things, but it is refreshing this year to see a lot of the newcomers and some new blood in the college football playoff conversation.
So it's going to start Friday. You got Oregon, Utah Friday night, and I'm into this one. Utah's gotten better and better. It's fun to watch Cameron Rising. They're starting to expand him a little bit. This is a physical team, and this is going to be a physical game. You go back to Oregon when they probably looked as good as they have in Columbus. Think about how physical they were with their offensive line. We know that's what Cristobal wants to do. Utah defensively is good, but their offensive line has been just throwing people around. Mm. So I'm excited about this one, and especially because it's all by itself. So this is one that if it was going on with other games, I may not be as into it. You got Baylor and Oklahoma State in the morning, Saturday morning. That'll be 11 a.m. Of course, the Big 12 will play at 11 a.m. That just seems right.
It's the Big 12.
It's the Big 12. I doubt Gary Bohannon is going to play in this thing. Has he been ruled out officially?
I don't know if he's ruled out officially, but he's probably not going to play. I mean, the word on the street is that hamstring is really bad. And they like the kid. Is it Shapen?
Yeah, and he's been okay for them.
He's got some moxie.
Bohannon is uncertain.
Yeah.
That's what I'd heard, but I'm with Rod.
That's gamesmanship. They know he's not going to
play. We were watching that live when he got shot in the leg.
He did not look good.
And you can always judge hamstrings by the initial scream and then the reaction. And if someone is banging on the turf and screaming, you blew it out.
Well, when you fall like that, right? You see somebody, they tweak their hammy. When they tweak their hammy, usually they just kind of pull up and go, oh, man, you'll see him limp a little bit. No, no, no. He fell right to the ground. Yeah, well, it's like he got shot. I mean, that's bad.
It's bad, but hey, I'm not going to underestimate this Baylor team, and they're close enough with Oklahoma State. I'll take Oklahoma State. They're a 5.5-point favorite, but this is the right matchup in terms of what the Big 12 was all year. These two teams were the best at what the Big 12 did this year,
that.
And that's run the football, play defense, and really play complementary football with special teams, field position, and all that. So curious to see how that one goes down. Clearly, the game is going to be Georgia-Alabama. And, Rod, the only thing, I was laughing with Derek Cohen during one of these breaks, that because it was right after you had said, man, take Georgia, 6.5, take Georgia. They're going to win this thing by a couple touchdowns. Everything you're saying makes football sense. It's just that Nick Saban thing that is still sitting there. And I need to get over it because I've seen Bama enough and there are enough holes.
Yeah, and there's Bill O'Brien there calling the plays. So they're flawed. I can tell you that. Just from Bill O'Brien's presence there, they're flawed. O'Brien versus was Dan Lanning?
Dan Lanning, yeah.
And so Kirby Smart. And so like I said, Nick Saban does mostly defense. I'm sure he peeks his head in the offensive meeting room. But think about Bill O'Brien versus Kirby Smart and Dan Lanning. That'll change your mind.
It will. They're, you know what? Alabama, as much as Texas fans are thinking, what did we get here? Alabama fans are probably missing Kyle Flood.
They're missing Sark and Flood.
Both. Because their offensive line. No, you're right.
And Jeff Banks.
And Jeff Banks.
Special teams.
Yeah.
Legit.
Their offensive line has been a disaster. Yeah. They gave up 7 sacks in the Iron Bowl. They had a total of 17 plays for 0 or negative yards. Think about an Alabama offense. 17 plays where negative or 0.
That means Bama's losing the line of scrimmage.
That's exactly what it means.
You never hear about that happening.
And so they made some changes. Darian Dalcourt came in for Seth McLaughlin at center. Damian George was replaced with Chris Owens at tackle, right tackle during the second half. Evan Neal is their huge left tackle, and he's going to be a first-round pick. Mm. It's the right tackle that has been a serious issue and was part of those 7 sacks. So they got 2 of their guys, including the center and the right tackle, that they're just trying to figure out who to go with. So I don't know who's going to deal with Jordan Davis, the All-American, and really that whole team, but I...
Oh, not just one man.
It's not just one man. It's a ton.
How many of y'all is it going to take to basically try to neutralize that guy, because he's a force of nature?
No, he's the real deal. Yeah. So, Georgia should win this game. The only question with Georgia is offensively, if they get into a game where Alabama can do some stuff defensively, because Alabama was really good against T.J. Finley in that Auburn offense. This is going to be a little bit different. I think Georgia is going to try and establish the line of scrimmage, see if they can run, take some play-action shots. But at some point, do they get to a spot where maybe we see a little bit more of JT Daniels? I don't know if that's going to be the case. But I'm hoping this is great, man. I'm hoping this is really good. One thing with Georgia, if you're looking at some of the stuff that they've – maybe some things that would hide some deficiencies, I would look at schedule. And their schedule – really, they have not faced great defenses. Hmm. So reading an ESPN article today, and they're getting into the 3 best defenses Georgia faced were Clemson, Florida, and South Carolina. 3 best offenses were Tennessee, Arkansas, and Kentucky. I don't think they've been tested nearly as much as a lot of SEC schedules would do. That's just kind of a yearly thing.
Yeah.
It worked out well for them. So let's see exactly how that Georgia offense, if they can really go over Alabama and blow them out.
So is basically what we're saying here is that Alabama's going to be the best test for them overall, offensively and defensively, they seem?
Yeah. And yes. That's what we're saying. Definitely defensively. That when the Georgia has the ball, this is going to be their best test.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, just because it's Saban.
It's Saban, right.
And Saban, and by the way, Saban probably has worked with Kirby Smart longer than any of those other assistant coaches that he's worked with. And that includes Jimbo, who's the first assistant coach who went on to be a head coach that beat Saban. Him and Kirby Smart are really, really familiar, intimately familiar with one another.
One guy to watch out for, number 19. I've talked about him. I think I've just called him the white freshman tight end. So I apologize for that. Brock Bowers, the Georgia tight end, who's almost more like an H-back.
Is he a man child?
Dude. And this guy can fly. Hmm. He can run. And so he could be the type of guy where they could get him involved. I like their running back, Zamir White, and who's the other guy they have? It's Dalvin Cook's brother. That they've got good backs, and they've got some guys that are difference, James Cook, that are difference makers. But really, it's been about the outside. And we talked about all year early on, they were missing a lot of talent on the outside. It just didn't matter. It gets back to your whole DeMarcus Lawrence being gone. That was week one. It's like, yeah, you forget because they were rolling.
I wonder, though, Stetson Bennett, will it come back to haunt him?
It hasn't come back to haunt them all year long. That's been my question.
Sometimes you forget Stetson Bennett's their quarterback.
Yeah.
And you go, he's their quarterback? Will it come back to haunt them? Because we all know that he's limited.
He's limited. And they know that.
They know that, but it doesn't matter because their defense is so good, they never put him in a position where he's got to go win games for them.
I'll tell you right now, if Georgia doesn't win the national championship, it'll be because they didn't develop JT Daniels enough.
No, that's a good point.
And I know some of that's injury, but really go with it and say, no, when we get to a point, we're going to need a guy like this.
They tried, though, right? It just didn't work out. Was it an injury or did he get benched?
A lot of it was injury.
Yeah.
And they're winning with Stetson Bennett. So that's one of those. Do you pull him?
No,
I will say that Stetson Bennett is a crafty, nifty runner. You only use
white.
I know. I actually meant both those. And he happens to be white.
Okay.
Two white people had sex and wanted to have a kid, and Stetson came out. So I guess there's not too much happens to be.
Nifty.
No, but you know what I mean?
No,
you,
I know, yeah.
And, he's actually athletic, too.
He knows when to run, too.
And he's athletic, too. Yeah. I like that.
There you go.
Sneaky
good for
athletic.
You. Okay.
Sneaky athletic.
No, he's athletic.
This should be fun, though, this weekend. And that is obviously the game. We've been waiting for Georgia, Alabama all game long. You're going to have two TVs set up. Houston and Cincinnati is also on at 3. And then the 2 7 o'clock games, Michigan and Iowa, Pitt and Wake Forest. Man, Iowa's just falling apart. But Iowa's 10-2. You'd feel like they'd have the type of team physically that could match up with Michigan. This is about turnovers, too, because when Iowa's rolling, Rod, they're taking the ball away. When they're not, they're not.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. They win with defense and special teams and being opportunistic. Iowa's offense always comes back to haunt them, or lack thereof. And I think this it make and remember at one point they started being their own worst enemy. Yeah, they were taking away the football, but they also started turning the football over.
Yep,
they were a disaster in their own right. So
they can't do that.
Yeah, so I think for Iowa, for their blueprint, and I believe at one point you called, you said Oklahoma State and Iowa had very similar kind of formulas to win. And we know how fragile the formula is for Oklahoma State. You can have turnovers like that. I mean, you're gonna be your own worst enemy. They can't afford that.
One guy to look out for that could really change all this is George Pickens. And so I've been, the last couple of weeks, just been checking to see when is George Pickens going to come back. Pickens was going to be preseason first-team All-American receiver.
Oh, wow.
He's legit for Georgia on the outside. And I think he's going to be back, which is pretty crazy. It's about 8.5 months off the ACL. And so they feel like he's going to be a part of this postseason run, which would really change things up for Georgia.
Man, how long? Four months? 8 months?
8.5 months.
Off of ACL? Man.
Yeah, or 8.25.
Yeah, that's freaky.
No, it's fourth day of spring practice, and he's able to already come back. And so, we'll see. We'll see exactly how healthy he looks. But should be fun, Rob. This is our last little go-around, man.
I think Georgia's going to handle business. This is Georgia's year. I really
hope you're right. I'd have no problem with Georgia just running this whole thing and winning the whole damn thing.
But if Nick Saban ends up beating Georgia, nobody's going to be surprised. He's the GOAT.
No one will be surprised. But some of the stuff I just brought up there with offensive line, if you really want to get into Alabama, Alabama has their flaws, and they're pretty easy to address.
Yeah.
At least on the outside. Not sure inside. All right, there's some one and done for you. We get ready for college football this weekend. Don't forget, we have a short show on Friday. We'll be getting you out at 5:30 for some Texas basketball. Snoop will have you covered on Saturday.
Snoop.
Is that 1 o'clock? I believe they're starting that. I'll double check on that. But obviously, we got some high school games, some local games to keep an eye on. Off the record coming up next. We've got two NFL coaches, very highly thought of, who never wanted to be Brian Kelly.
D.D. Megadoodoo, I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain and comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
Welcome back to RBKD. Time for another edition of Off the Record. And since Brian Kelly has decided that he wants to be a part of the LSU football program and left the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, it's kind of fighting for a new coach, or at least looking for a new coach, I have to say. He has now been the kind of victim of kind of from character assassination, if you will.
He has.
People are coming after him now, and they're releasing all these old stories, I guess, that they were keeping under their hat because maybe it was considered family business at the time, and now that he's no longer family, they're willing to just let everybody know all the family business.
Yeah, he was.
That's what's going on.
And I said this forever, being a Notre Dame fan as he was a coach, not the most likable guy. And no Notre Dame fan ever should have run from that. And LSU fans are going to have to deal with that, too. But, yeah, some of this is weird that's coming out. Rod.
No, it's straight up. They're going after him.
One of them is a picture from 8 years ago.
Of him.
When he's on the sideline, when he's giving the finger.
I saw it. It's a terrible picture.
It
not,
is.
Not like a terrible picture, but it's actually a bad image.
It's good clarity.
It's good clarity.
It's good clarity.
It's a bad image.
It's good lighting.
It's a bad image for a guy you want to lead your program.
Yes.
Because it's essentially the Tom Herman double bird.
I was about to say, we know about that.
It ain't that different from the Tom Herman double bird. And we know this from Colonel Craig Flowers, that he was part of a group that actually advised Brian Kelly back in the day when he was reinventing himself. Remember, he had that reinvention on some of his public persona.
Yeah,
the perception of him. But he was a fighting. You know,
he was an angry Irish.
He was a hothead. Yeah, he was yelling and cussing. He dog cussed.
Remember
yeah.
how red his face would get?
It would get really red, and he would be he'd go off.
Yeah,
and it was unseemly.
Yeah,
it was unbecoming at times. But we've seen every coach kind of have that.
Chad and I were talking about this.
Brian Kelly and
Jimbo have something in common because they'll grind down quarterbacks,
Jimbo
and they will lose it on the sideline with quarterbacks especially.
Hell, Jimmy Lake just got in trouble for it. He went too far.
Right.
With a player, right? Grabbed him, face mask, something like that. So we've seen other
players. And we're open here.
We've seen
Jimmy.
Jimmy!
Jimmy likes Austin.
Jimmy! you read my mind. You read my mind.
I knew
where
you were going with that.
All right. How about this story,
Jimmy's
though?
Jimmy's sweet on a lane. He is?
Jimmy's new in town.
Jimmy's great at coordinating pass coverages with the PK's front. all right. How about this? Matt LaFleur and Robert Saleh, who Matt LaFleur now is the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, and Robert Saleh, apparently they were graduate assistants on the Central Michigan staff back in the day.
That's a hell of a grad staff
what?
Right there. You kidding me?
Who
those two guys? This is like the Temple guy who was hiring.
Oh, yeah, and he had Matt Rhule there.
Yeah. Can you imagine trying to look this up, calling them and being like, yeah, who would have been in charge of bringing in grad assistants the late 90s
it was like,
or
the
early 2000s?
Temple was like Ryan Day. It was like Matt Rhule was there, then Ryan
then
Day
Ryan
was
Day.
There. And then
and
Matt Rhule came back.
And they brought him back.
Yeah. Like, whoa. You're right. I did not know Matt LaFleur and Robert Saleh were on that staff for Central Michigan. So give Brian Kelly some credit. God knows how to pick coaches and knows how to pick grad assistants. So
now treating them is a little different.
Yeah, so apparently this story comes from ESPN, an ESPN staff writer, so I'll give him credit, Rob Domofsky. And he claims that one day Brian Kelly had Matt LaFleur and Robert Saleh as grad assistants come to his house. They anticipated, coach invited us to the house. We're about to talk ball. He's going to tell us about, you know, how he thinks we're a part of the future.
It was a Christmas party. No, it was. It was a Christmas party. So they got invited.
They got invited
to the party.
Wow. Okay, so how about this? I'll just read it verbatim here because this story is crazy. On a winter night in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, Matt LaFleur and Robert Saleh thought they were invited to a party at the home of their boss, Central Michigan University coach Brian Kelly. Turns out they weren't on the guest list at all. They were on the worker list. Quote, we shoveled the snow and parked all the cars, Robert Saleh said. Then at the end of the night, we had to go get the cars again for all the guests. And then they went back to the tiny apartment they shared as grad assistants and stood around their kitchen table, the one without any chairs. This is another quote. This one from the San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh. He was at the time. Now he's the Jets head coach. He said, quote, we decided that when we're in that position, we were never going to treat people the way that we got treated, he said, and Maddie's lived up to it. So there you go. He's talking about Matt LaFleur.
Man, I never knew this.
I didn't know they were grad assistants together. I certainly didn't know that. And then you know what happened? This is Coming to America.
Yeah.
Remember?
Oh, yes.
Mr. McDowell invites them over to the house. And
Simi,
they think,
Simi has to park.
Yeah, because remember after they end up they rescuing the McDowell's franchise or the store or whatever
right.
from Samuel L. Jackson trying to rob it.
Yes.
Remember, they keep that from happening. He invites them to his home, and they thought, oh, this is a thank you for us actually saving the day and saving his business. And no, he brought them there so they could actually be parking attendants mm-hmm. and so that they could actually be service or wait staff at the party.
Right.
Yeah.
Not knowing their royalty.
Not knowing that they were royalty. And turns out,
Spoiler alert.
These guys want royalty, but hey, they'd be guys that you definitely would want.
Close.
You'd want them on your side. You'd like to have that as a connection, as a coach. Turns out he treated them so badly that they think of Brian Kelly as an a-hole and a D-bag, and they probably won't take his call.
So this is just opening up stuff just to get on Brian Kelly.
It is, yeah.
That's not right, though. But
I
got to say, that doesn't surprise me.
That is wrong. That's not cool.
Like, if you would have told me
that's not cool.
10 days ago, hey, here's the situation. Brian Kelly is hosting this party. These guys are grad assistants. They end up having to park cars. I'd go, yeah, I buy that. I wouldn't do that. But
yeah,
there's a lot of stuff. But
I'm going to need you to tell the coaches what they're in store for. Tell them, like, hey, I need you
tell
guys
them.
To tell
right.
Just tell them straight up. They'll do it.
Say, hey, if you can
assistants.
Do that, you can come back into the party and you can mingle. And
there are lots of coaches here,
right.
So you can probably can make some connections, all that kind of stuff. Say, listen, there's something for me in it. There's
yeah.
Something for you in it.
No, we got a dog room with a big bowl of water. You got to stay in there.
No, I'm with you, man.
Don't go over the gate.
You got to give them.
You
a,
may get shocked.
That is not cool.
No,
that's
it's not cool.
Cool
at all.
That's not. Come on, Brian Kelly.
And trust me, I'm not trying to sit here and bag on Brian Kelly. I think we've all known what Brian Kelly is, and LSU's hiring him because he's a really good coach.
It's just that simple.
Right.
The man can
Period.
Coach ball. They're not hiring him because he's a nice guy.
No.
Only Texas hires people because they're nice guys. I'm just kidding.
Are you?
I'm just kidding. How about this story, though? Remember the story about, is it Merriweather, Tobias Merriweather, the recruit that allegedly that Brian Kelly was having dinner with, him and his family?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
At the time when the news broke. So apparently they all had a, this comes from IrishIllustrated.com, give them credit. It said they all had a great meal, enjoyed a nice meal, and had some great conversations for a few hours. While they were all together, I'm told they actually talked about his departure from Cincinnati and how things leaked before he had informed the players. He was disappointed about that and didn't want that to happen again. The irony is that a few minutes later, while he was leaving, the news broke that he was headed to LSU. It says here, once the news broke.
Why would he say he didn't want that to happen again? That would.
They were just talking. They
okay.
had been there for 4 hours. They run out of conversation.
All right.
Just, yeah.
But that would have hit me like, so you're leaving?
Once the news broke, Merriweather reached out to the staff, and per a source, Brian Kelly told them that it wasn't true. BS was the word that he used to describe the news to the recruit. BS. Beyond this, the article says, I'm told the Notre Dame coaches were not happy at all with how this played out. Many of them were embarrassed and disappointed because they were around commits at the time and their families when this stuff went public and they had no idea. So he definitely didn't tell a lot of his coaching staff.
Is there a clean way for this to happen? Probably cleaner than that.
Is there a clean way to break up with somebody? Not really, but there's a cleaner way.
Yeah.
There may not be a classy way to do it, but there's a classier way to do it, and maybe he just needs to figure out a better way to do it. But it's going to be ugly either way. I'm with you. It's really, it's breaking up with somebody. It's always going to be ugly. But one of the assistants says that Brian Kelly has ghosted everyone at Notre Dame. Just spoke to one assistant who saw reports on the phone tonight as he was exiting a recruit's home. The news broke when I walked out of the house, so I looked like an effing a-hole.
Yeah, I read that.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
nature of the beast.
It is nature of the beast. Mm. If they want to do something about it, maybe they can down the road. But as long as you have recruiting, that's going to be the separator. So in the NFL, you can wait, and you will wait on that. It's like, well, we'll wait.
Yeah. Then you're talking to a mother of a recruit or the father of a recruit, and you're saying, you know, that, hey, we're going to be here and we want to help develop your son into a young man. And yeah, that may be true, but you also take the better offer too.
Yeah.
If it's on the table. And that should be understood though.
Yeah. Most coaches are full of it.
Yes, they are.
You just have to understand.
They're politicians.
That's exactly
right. Coaches
are
politicians.
They're salesmen.
Exactly right.
A good salesman is full of it. To some degree. Hey, we're two in. We got two to go. We got Rod. We got Cameron. I'm Kevin. And we are talking a lot of football. Texas football coming up next. The 2022 schedule is out. Time to overhaul the roster. What are some of the options out there? Could be coming from Norman.